Greetings in that worthy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Is He not?
Amen.
Hallelujah. My, if it can get so precious here, how will it be over there?
Amen.
What a joy. Amen. Yes, why? I'm very blessed to be here, and I never tire of the joy of the Christian life and being a partaker and sharer in the grace of God with my beautiful church family. What a joy. Well, this morning, I feel like, how can I put it into words? I told my brother Robert in the back this morning, I said, "Brother, I just sense my need so deeply, and I'm leaning upon my Lord Jesus. And I trust that you all can identify with that. Because as soon as I put any confidence in this flesh and I begin thinking I got it together, I am sure to utterly fail and fall. But if we lean upon Him with our entire being and all that we are, and we say, "Oh God, I need You. Ah, He helpeth the needy." Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Oh yes, we won't need glasses in heaven either, will we? Amen. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Ah, yes. He bore my sins and my iniquities and my infirmities upon that old rugged cross on that tree for me, that He might redeem me, and not only me, but thee also, and cleanse us, redeeming us from how much iniquity? All iniquity. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now that word peculiar does not mean odd or weird. It means that we are His peculiar treasure. We are God's own. And we are separated unto Him from this iniquity and sin of this old world. Glory to God! That's a wonderful place to be. He gave Himself for our sins that He might redeem us from this present evil world according to the will of God. Ah! It's not just a little bit of receiving Jesus as my Savior and then go on and live my own life the way I want. But it's being delivered from all iniquity and from this present evil world and the spirit of the age of this present evil world. Glory to God. Oh, yes, I believe in the doctrine of separation. But we better get it straight. We must have separation unto God first, or we will get all confused in our trying to work out being separated from the world. And we will do it with man's wisdom and fleshly wisdom, and it'll come out looking odd and weird. And people will say, "Those people are weird. And what they are doing in the name of Christ doesn't make any sense." And that is sad, but there is some of that does happen. But I want to hasten to say, in the day that we live in, when you are separated unto God in a society that is rejecting God and the law of God, we are weird in their eyes. And we are peculiar in that sense of the word. Because they say, you people, you look like you come from another century. Well, praise God. We belong to another kingdom. And we have another king. And His name is Jesus. And we live by His law. And we love His law. And His commandments are not grievous. But they're joyous. And Brother Steve, they are a blessing. Because God has hidden in all those lovely commandments the promise to do thee good. Oh, what a joy to be a child of God. Well, today, I again will try to say what's on my heart. If I can be, by the grace and mercy of God, a father today, and we can just sort of pull up our chairs and have a little fireside chat, and we can gain some wisdom from the Word of the Lord, and we can look at our present day and age, and we can make some application to Scripture, and we can be delivered from the snare, brother, the snare of the devil, the snare of the enemy. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Speak unto the children and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the children of Israel and the land of their coast set a watchman, and if he seeth the sword come, and he blow the trumpet and warn the people, they whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and he took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, and if the sword come and take any person away from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Thou, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. And then in Hebrews 13:17 we have these words that speak more to my heart than to you all today. But it says that we as ministers of the gospel, we watch over the souls of those in the congregation as those that must give an account. And then he says to us, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. So many scriptures. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus Christ's name and we say, Hail to the King, mighty deliverer, conqueror, victor over death and hell. And Father, today we just do humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And we ask you, O God, would you grant unto your servant utterance. Would you grant unto your servant to be able to hear clearly the voice of God and the heart of God for 2009 for Charity Christian Fellowship. O Lord, I do not want to teach for commandments doctrines of men, but Lord, we want to teach the Word of God. We want to make application to the Word of God. Lord, that we may walk wisely and circumspectly and soberly and godly in this present evil world and not be ensnared and entangled by the things of this world and be distracted and be taken captive and led away with the error of the wicked. Oh, Lord, please help us, oh God. Father, have mercy upon us here, Lord, today. And grant, Father,
utterance and unction and anointing, Father. Lord, that we may see what You see. That we may burden and care about the things that You care about, Lord. Oh God, please come and have Your way in this message, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. If I can make an appeal concerning the message today, would you bear with me a little? And refrain from feeling like we have to bring balance to the message. Because sometimes when we, in sincerity, you know, desire to bring balance, it can actually weaken what God has been speaking to my heart or another brother's heart, and conviction has begun to settle down, and then we bring balance, and he says, okay, well then, and then it brings confusion. But I do really appreciate the many times that, you know, a word is brought and it just brings a beautiful, how would I say it? It's a beautiful coming alongside, and it just reinforces and it just strengthens the Word of God that we have just heard, a testimony or a word of wisdom. So if I could ask for that, bear with me a little as we look at the message here today. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. For I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Today we live in a world where there are many things clamoring for our attention. We live in a society where there is a lot of noise. There are many things crying out for our attention. The advertisements are getting bolder, more graphic. The noise level is going up, clamoring for our attention and for our heart. There are many things today that are clamoring and seeking to move us away from the simplicity of the gospel. A song says it well. My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. The hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. And you say, okay, well, yeah, the hosts of sin. All right, the hosts of entertainment. The hosts of pleasure. The hosts of other things. My soul, be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. And today we might say that number has increased from when the hymn writer wrote this. My soul, be on thy guard. 100 million foes arise. I didn't print out the statistics, but I did look a little bit. There are literally millions of websites. There are multitudes of social networks and clamoring for our attention. And what I see today as the greatest danger for the child of God is that these things are clamoring for our attention and our mind. Our thoughts, our emotions, our heart. The meditation of our mind, the thoughts that we think about, what we are musing on, what we are filling our minds with. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now let's look at what some of these words mean. He says that as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted and seduced away from a wholehearted, sincere, pure devotion to Christ. So your mind should be seduced and drawn away from a wholehearted and a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So there may not be a lot of evil in some of these things, although I believe there is a lot of evil. And I believe it is very wicked and evil if it draws us away from a sincere, pure, wholehearted devotion to Christ. And the devil is very subtle. If he were coming to just throw a bunch of things in our face and say, I want you to forget God. I want you to lose your fervor for the Lord Jesus. We'd say, no way. But he comes more subtle than that. And he holds forth an invitation to something that should be a comfort and a joy and a blessing. And we think, oh wow. And we're enamored and we're amused and we're curious about all of these new technologies. And I want to warn us today. I want to just exhort us. I thought this morning, maybe we should sit at the feet of some who've been there and done that. And now they've fallen in, now they've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. And they are not their own anymore. They now belong to Jesus. And they're putting off the former things of their former conversation and former lust so that they may be wholly devoted to Jesus and know Him. Well, I have had the privilege of hearing some of those testimonies. And I think we better sit up and learn and take notice and not be so ignorant and naive and say, wow, all these new things. My, I can connect with everybody everywhere. And I can have all kinds of interactions and relationships. Well, some people that I know who got saved and born again, they said, this thing's got to go. My Facebook, my MySpace, and whatever all they are, I hesitate to even name them. But I belong to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit convicted them when they got back on there and started logging on again and just viewing all these different things. And they were convicted that if I am going to be a sold out servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got to lighten my load. I gotta lay aside the things that beset me and that hinder me in my walk with Jesus. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we can stop right there. A lot of social networking, blogging, is focused on who? Me. I. The way it works, and I don't understand much about it, but I did a little research so that I might not talk out of ignorance and you just wipe this whole message off and say, oh, that old fogey doesn't know what he's talking about. The way it works is you put up your profile, your personal profile. Who I am, what my hobbies are, what my interests are, what music I'm listening to, what videos I'm watching, what activities I enjoy. And it's all about me, myself, and I. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They will be utterly self-centered in the last days. Utterly self-centered. It goes exactly opposite and diametrically opposed to the life of a Christian who is to deny himself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. It goes against a holy life in so many ways. It robs us of what belongs to God. Ah, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm telling you, there's a lot of counsel of ungodly on social networks. There's a lot of people who do not love Jesus. And there's a lot of people who are deceived and walking in blindness, and their gospel is another gospel and another Jesus. And you can just be cool dude. And you can just be the in person. And you can be with the in crowd. And you can have all kinds of fun. Oh, but by the way, you know, I'm a Christian. And I'll tell you, this is more subtle and more poisonous than if it were straight out poison. The way you kill a man with poison is to not give him a whole cup full of poison. You only put about 3% into his juice. And you hide it so he cannot smell it, taste it, and when he takes of it, it does its deadly work. And so that old serpent, the devil, is mixing his poison into a lot of things that are supposedly called good. And sad to say, a lot of mainstream Christianity is drinking it. And then we wonder why we're so weak and anemic in our Christian life. We wonder why we don't see more of the glory of God and the power of God in our lives. You say, Brother Aaron, this is radical. Well, Jesus said, if your eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is better for you to enter into life having one eye than to be cast into hell. You know, it robs us of meditation. Because now, instead of meditating on the Word of the Lord, I'm thinking about my profile. I'm thinking about what those other people put up on their profile and the things I read there. And I'm thinking about how I need to update my profile. Even when I'm taking pictures, I'm thinking about my profile. Wow, this would be cool to put on my profile. And my life becomes centered around myself. Self-promotion. Self-exaltation. He that exalts himself shall be abased. And yes, Brother Steve, it doesn't happen right away. You think you're getting away with it. I'm doing pretty good. Praise God. Oh. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's a lot of scornful things being said on those places. A lot of scornful things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He habitually sets his heart to ponder and muse on the Word of God. It's a habit of his life, just like eating and drinking. And that man is blessed. But do you know what can happen in these social networks? It becomes a habit. Every day I've got to check it. I mean, I can't miss because my buddies are on there posting new things. And I've got to keep mine updated. I've got to keep up with the crowd. And so it becomes, and we'll have some testimonies, it becomes to rob us from that heart-centered, focused devotion on the Lord Jesus Christ onto some other thing. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient, Paul said. He said, come on, Aaron, there's nothing wrong with this thing. You're making a law out of it. I mean, there's a lot of good things. Yeah, all things are lawful for me. There may be some good things, but not all things are expedient. And Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. Can anybody identify this morning that these type of things have a way of dragging you in more than you thought and taking more of your time and bringing you under and making you a slave? Amen. I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not become slave of anything or be brought under its power. It may be lawful, but is it drawing me closer to Jesus? Jesus said, these that are sown among the thorns are they that hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things entering in, choke out the word and it becometh unfruitful. The lust of other things. Oh, I did a little study on that. The distractions of the age. It's a definition. What is the major distraction of our age? Internet. World Wide Web. Millions upon millions upon millions of websites with all kinds of information, and people are sitting at their computers wasting away their time on websites and social networks and blogs. Well, craving, passionate desire for other things creeps in and suffocate and choke the Word of God, and it doesn't bring forth fruit. Oh, it's so sad to see. I think I should give a title to this little study this morning. I thought of two different ones. I'm not sure which to give it, so we'll give them both. We'll let the tape minister decide. Pitfalls of social networking and blogging. Social networking is a major thing, you know. Or we could title it this. Social networking, blogging. A blessing or a curse? Which is it to you? All I'm asking for this morning is that we take an honest look at what we're facing in our age. My dear brothers, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And that means let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance and unnecessary activity or function or act or whatever you want to put in there. Let us strip ourselves of these unnecessary encumbrances. Why? So that we may run the race that is set before us. That we may run it with patient endurance. Looking away from all that will distract us. Hallelujah. And looking unto Jesus. My, if I can behold the face of Jesus and be changed from glory to another glory, why would I want to sit and gaze into the face, if I may call it that, of that computer monitor screen? Are we selling ourselves out cheap? Are we selling ourselves up short? I actually did use the internet to get some of this information. It's readily available. It can be used for study and so forth. I believe it can have a rightful place. But I tell you, the interface of social networking is what we want to look at this morning, and blogging, and focus in a bit on that, and email, and texting, and so forth. Here's an article by Albert Moeller. Facebook turns five years old. Thoughts on social networking. Facebook marked its fifth anniversary on February the 5th, setting a milestone for social networking as a cultural phenomenon. This thing is sweeping the nation and the world by storm. Just 5 years ago, a Harvard undergraduate launched the site and service. Together, MySpace, Facebook report over 280 million registered users. Together, these represent nothing less than a major social movement. And we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to look at these major social movements and technologies, and we have to seek God's wisdom about how these things will affect us and our generation and Brother Steve, our children, and what should our posture be? How are we going to handle this? Today's generation, today's student generation, excuse me, don't know of any existence before cell phones, internet, email, text messaging. They assume 24/7 social contact is just normal life. Well, some Christians say, okay, what we need to do is we need to set all sorts of checks and balances in place and all sorts of safeguards so we can use this technology. I'm not too sure. Do I need it? Will it make me a better Christian? Will it make me a truer disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Should I try to control the monster? Or shall we shut the door? Facebook and all these other things. I keep saying that. If you have anything else in your life as social networking or even addicted to your email, you need to look at it the same way. It's an everlasting source of entertainment, says one author. Everybody's on it. It's so easy to just bounce from page to page, game to game, photo to photo. It's mindless and distracting. And this is from an author who would say you have to probably control it. I think that would be his position. You put some safeguards in place. But he has some good questions, and he has some good observations. He says it has the potential to drain the vitality out of our relationship with the Lord. It has that potential to do that. It has the potential to distract me even when I'm trying to have my devotions because of all the things running through my head that I've just been filling my mind with. Well, what should our posture be? Something that has the potential to draw me away from God and fill my mind with other things. Shall we try to just tame the monster? I wonder, how many people can you have a meaningful relationship with? How many people can you actually have a meaningful, deep, heart to heart Christian brotherhood, sisterhood relationship with. I fear people are substituting this type of networking and they're logged on and spaced out to their common brother, sister, right next to him. We were made for real person-to-person relationships. We were made to meet together. Brethren and sisters, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Think about it. For thousands of years, the only way to have social interaction was to meet together. We didn't even have telephones. We talked with our neighbor over the fence. We knew who our neighbors were. We loved our church family. We loved all sitting around in the living room and sharing family time together before everybody had their own text message coming in on their own cell phone and their own little thing to do and their own accounts and all these things. Brethren and sisters, warning, I see a serpent. I see a subtle serpent with an evil motive to steal our heart's devotion away from the Lord Jesus Christ first, and secondly, away from my wife and my children and my brothers and sisters in church, because I'm connected and online with somebody from another state somewhere else. Danger. Danger. Oh yes, they could write letters. They did have a way to communicate. It was by letter, written with seriousness and sobriety most times. I'm not saying there wasn't some wickedness and evil and wicked writings. Certainly there were. But it was very different. You had to wait for that letter to be delivered, and then you had to read it, and then you had to respond, and it took 2-3 months to get the response back. Remember the early missionary days, Brother Denny? You know, we didn't have email, but I'm glad for email for those type of things. I can stay connected with my daughter in Africa, and there are good uses for those things. But now I won't go too far down that road, or you'll just write everything off I've been saying earlier. Be careful. Well, what are the dangers? What are the pitfalls of social networking? We've been talking about some. I think it's a very real danger to distract us from true brotherhood. You know, a lot of people, they can pose to be somebody different on social network than what they really are in real life. You can post up this blog and this presentation of yourself. That is not true. And the other people who are looking at your profile from across the world somewhere, they don't know. They may very well be doing the same and living in a fantasy world. Why do people do these things? Well, maybe I need to take a good look at my heart and my relationships with my family and my brothers. Maybe it's some of people do it because there's a void and an emptiness in their heart that they're trying to fill. And so they get on some social network, start connecting with other people. And the more they connect with other people, the more they zone out with the people right around them. Well, maybe it's just curiosity. Like I said a bit earlier, we ought to learn from people who walk down that path. And I said, I found that thing to be a snare to me. I found that thing to be a weight in my run in the race. So I signed off, closed my account, and pressed into my account with God. And I have been richly rewarded. See, sometimes those people who've been there have more wisdom than we do. Because we haven't been there. We haven't tasted it. We haven't seen it. We think, wow, my, this is great. Hey, come on. Let's get on this thing. And so then people start, and you know the peer pressure? Hey, he's got one. You ought to see it. You know, and so, okay, then, peer pressure. Maybe that's why people get on it. Peer pressure. Because it's the in thing. It's the cool thing to do. Well, what are some of the real dangers? I think the number one real danger is it robs God of your heart devotion and love. So you say, oh, okay, so if I can balance it properly, then I can have it? Well, do you think you have the discernment to balance it properly? Maybe you should go on a fast for a month. Take all the time you've been spending on those social networks and invest it in reading the Word of God and in reaching out to real people face to face, developing some real meaningful relationships, and start discipling somebody else and see what happens. See if at the end of a month you won't be convinced. I was blinded. I was deceived. I was tricked. Well, it's a very dangerous place. It's a very dangerous place. Temptations abound. Facebook is a loaded gun when it comes to temptation, says one author. Flirting, sensual photos, and you have no control over what other people upload. Evil communications, and they corrupt good manners, whether they're on Facebook or online somewhere or person to person. Posting video clips, movies. And it's all right there. What does the Bible teach us? Should we just try to tame that monster? Oh God, forgive me, I really didn't. You know I don't like to see those things. Quick, click off of it, go somewhere. Or should we say, as the Scripture says, there's a biblical application here to this verse. Make no provision for the flesh and to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't set that wicked thing before your eyes. This man admits, and I think he's a Christian author, he says, I haven't figured out how to control this thing. I wrestle through it all the time, on a regular basis. Then he says, but should we abandon it for all the good that's in it and all the potential? Well, that same man would probably have a television in his house and he'd say, we control it. We only watch good programming. We limit the amount of time we watch. And yeah, we're offended at the commercials that pop up. Even in good Christian programming, they pop up these awful commercials. Sensual, wicked commercials. Defiling. But we control it. I don't think we should take that approach. I don't think we want to, brethren. I don't think we'll like the fruit of it if we do. Yeah, I wrestle through these things. Every day. trying to keep up. Now listen. Trying to keep up with who are influencing my children. Who are their friends online? And what are they saying? And all at once, Dad, who loves the Lord and loves his family and wants to safeguard his children from evil influences and corruptions, is up to here trying to keep up with 3 children or 5 who have their own social networking account. And I mean, it's like, how's he supposed to keep up? And then the children get a little ruffled. Well, Pop, you're acting like a policeman looking into our online chattings and our social networkings. Don't you trust us? I don't trust the flesh. I love you, my son, my daughter, but I don't trust that wicked flesh. And I don't trust the medium of this age. The spirit of this age is permeating through that thing. And it's ensnaring its millions. Isn't it a high time the Church of Jesus Christ awakes? Awake up unto righteousness and sin not. Oh, sometimes I just wish we could go back before all these things ever came along. Yes. It is a design by the master deceiver to fill our minds so that we have no time to meditate on God, no time to muse on His Word, no time to talk to each other. This generation growing up, not only because of social networking, but because of television and the whole technological age, is growing up retarded. Pardon me, but they are. They do not know how to hold meaningful conversations with a person. They do not know how to really bear their heart and have real life experience of relationships. They are aimless, without purpose. They don't know where they're going. They're confused. They just put their mind in neutral and log on and let come what may. Television, internet, all sorts of things. Entertainment, movies, by the scores. And not only movies, but evil, wicked, demonic, witchcraft movies these days. Movies that blaspheme the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Movies straight out of hell, if I may say it that way. Straight from the heart of Satan, Antichrist. And there's a generation growing up that their sole source of learning and development is the computer, the internet, the games, all of those things. And the games are even more horrible, I'm told, than what a lot of movies are. Wicked games where you role play and you kill people. Then they wonder why there's shootings every other day or twice a day in our nation and things getting more wicked. And they say, oh, it has no connection. So brothers and sisters, you say, well, that's way out there. Let's bring it back home again. What will this technology do to us? What will it do to my family and our relationships? Can we all be together, have wonderful fellowship, and be satisfied with the old-time gospel, the old-time way? Or do we have to have something entertaining and jazzed up to get our attention, or it's not worth doing? There's a verse in Job that just is amazing. Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk, with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Yea, thou castest off fear and restrainest prayer before God. What is he saying? Yeah. When we can sit at the feet of wicked persons or just simply soulish persons who say, Aaron, my people that I social network with aren't wicked. Well, are they silly and lighthearted and just wanting to promote folly? And say, oh, you should see this. It's so funny. And right here's a link to it. Right connected to the major network of movies that are wicked. Oh, but this was not wicked. It's just funny. It'll make you laugh. And while we're laughing and being entertained, the devil is getting a more and more of a hold on our life. And we wist it not. And our devotional life is cooling. Somehow my relationship with my dad and mom is just strained. They're saying we're concerned about what you're doing. Should a wise man fill his belly with the east wind? Empty vanity? Should he? A wise man? A spiritual man? A man of God? And this morning, my brothers and sisters, this is not to our youth. It's to all of us, me included. I have been convicted in time past, and presently I'm saying, Lord, show me. Is there anything in my life that does hinder me? It can be as simple as the news. I don't get the newspaper. I don't get U.S. news. I wonder what's happening in the world. So I'll just take a little look at BBC News. But you know what? That thing can be a subtle snare. And after a while, I didn't just look at a headline, but now I clicked on a link to read a little more about it. My dear brothers and sisters, we must be vigilant and be sober because the devil is going about as a hungry, roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if he can get my focus on those things, and what is my thought spinning with the rest of the day? Oh, these awful things that are happening in the world. Instead of how beautiful my Jesus is, and how wonderful the power of the gospel is to save souls and set men free. I think, brethren, we really need to hold each other accountable. We need to earnestly look at these things. And I would really urge us today that we don't shut up our hearts to the spirit of the age and the devices of this age to draw us away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And we become drunk and hooked on good Christian networking at the expense of my family, my brothers, and real meaningful relationships one with another, face to face. Just a few questions, because I want to open it up here. The time goes by so quickly. Would you be glad for everyone to see what you have said on your social network? Would you love your pastors to get it up here and display it for all to see, all my brothers and sisters in Christ? Somehow, there's a boldness to say things on a social network that is not face-to-face. So you're a little more bold to make a flirtatious statement and see if it comes back in response. But you wouldn't do it face-to-face, or I hope you wouldn't. Have you entered into evil communications on social network? There's a lot of evil speaking on there, you know. And you can really get dragged down. You can really be dragged down in your spiritual life with all of the things that are being said. All the accusations, all the idle words, all the lightheartedness, all the inappropriate things going on. Remember? Remember?
Leaks in your vessel.
Remember? Remember how God spoke to you about things that day? Leaks in your vessel. But we keep right on logging on. There's another hole. Keep right on quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. And leaks in our vessel. And the vessel that was meant to be sanctified and meet for the Master's use is full of leaks. And we are robbing God of what belongs to Him. We are robbing our spouse of what belongs to him or her. And there's leaks in your vessel. And you're wondering why your devotions are dry. You know, you can just write all this off this morning and say, he's an old fogey. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But I really challenge you today to when you hear the voice of the Lord and He convicts your heart, that you don't just shrug it off and laugh it off and go on your way, because someday you may be deeper into the clutches of the bondages of Satan and his devices than you ever dreamed you would be. Because the life of Christ is draining out of you, you have no more power to withstand temptation and stronger temptation. And one author said, I have in just the last few moments or few months been made aware of 3 marriages in Christian churches destroyed through a contact on social networking, and he mentioned Facebook. Because there, he made connection, or she made connection. The devil wants to destroy you and me. I'll tell you what, brethren and sisters, we need to plug those leaks by the grace of God through repentance and through radical commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience, and say, I will not be brought under the control and authority of anything. And this is a grief to my heart. Sometimes those people who defend it and say, oh, come on, come on, they've had major failure in their life. Online. But still they're defending it. Well, I would really desire to open it up for your comments, maybe a testimony as it relates to the message. And brethren, I urge you as a father. Paul said you have many instructors, but you have not many fathers. I urge you, my dear brothers and sisters, as a father, please take warning. And this, I have to clarify this yet. This does not only apply to social networking. Are you spending... It does not only apply to Facebooks and so forth, social network sites. This applies to email as well. Are you spending time on email that belongs to God and belongs to your wife, belongs to your husband, and belongs to your son and daughter? I'm really serious about this morning. I am not... I'm in all seriousness. Texting. How many texts do you get in one day on your cell phone? And how many texts do you send? And is your mind preoccupied with all of those things you want to send? God forbid, but it has been said that in our circles, there have been people who text while the preacher was preaching. I'm more interested in my friend than I am in God. Yeah, I'll put it that way. Because the preacher is the messenger of God. And if you have to send a text or answer a text during a sermon, I'd say you better examine your life. You are pretty addicted. You are a slave. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray. I didn't mean to scold anyone here this morning, but only to sound the alarm in Thy holy mountain, to lift up my voice like a trumpet, oh Lord, and warn of this subtle serpent and his devices to draw us away. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, would You please convict by Your Holy Spirit? And Father, help us, God, to with all our mind and all our soul press into the kingdom and to be holy, sober, righteous, godly in this present evil world. Not conformed to this world, pressed into its image, have to do all the status things of the day and enter into all these things, Lord. But, oh God, can we say, here am I, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? I'm not my own. It's not my right to do what I want to do. But, oh Jesus, I love You and I want to serve You. And I want no idols between me and Thee. Oh God, please bless this dear church family. You know how we love one another. You know how we long to see each one finish the race and finish it strong, and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Glory to God. Oh Lord, bless now the remainder of the service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you want to open it up, and you speak as the Holy Spirit leads. Where's the mic? All right.
I'd like to say that God bless you for sharing that. I can identify especially with that thing of wasting time, and I want to give my time to God. God is interested in my time.
Amen.
And so I want to examine seriously that part of my life.
Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Some words of wisdom from the older men or young men in this congregation. Am I off the wall? Did I preach it too strong? Let us rise up. Quit like men. Yes, Jerry.
Yes, I want to thank you for this message. Somebody came and asked me, "Hey, you know, I heard about Facebook. I'd like to get on that." And I told him, "Watch what you're doing. I don't like the... I hear so much about it that it's almost too much. You hear too much about it. And I hear so much about it." I told him, "Watch what you're doing getting on Facebook." And this message, I hope, settled it in his heart.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Praise God. Where's the other microphone? Yes, Brother Lester. Get your hand up so they can get the mic to you while he's speaking.
I was very blessed with the message here. I had to think maybe we should ask us all a question. Do we remember this man that was here a couple weeks ago? He spent some time in jail. And he came out of jail and he said what he used to do to try... He came from a Christian home, just to update us a little bit on it. And he got away from the church. And what he used to do was try to do things around his parents' back and going to the store and getting things. He said, "Now I can go in..." Now, he said he was shocked after he got out of prison when he got this far. He was shocked how you can do the same thing he was doing behind a closed door in your own home. Mm-hmm. So it was just a warning to me.
Yes.
It is. And it's, and I was just thinking over this, you know, I don't know how other people have their computer or how they have it and anything, but I think it should be in the presence where anybody of the house can walk right in if anybody is using it, that they are not, they don't even want to click on those things that are vile or anything like that. So I just bless God for the message.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Over here.
Yeah, I give testimony this morning that I'm a needy soul. I have a lot of needs in my life. 2.5 years ago, I wanted to go down that path of investing in a computer, and you could see a lot of benefit in that. 2.5 years ago, God got a hold of my heart, and I had to rid my life of that thing. And it's not because of some desire to show some great abilities and might, but just to show that I'm a weak soul in need. And God just showed me the depravity of my own heart and my inabilities to deal with something like a computer. And I have not owned a computer since, but I have heard a lot of words from other people that have caused me to wonder if I don't have the liberty of God, if there's a need in my heart that I can't have something like that and control it. And after today's message, I'm just so thankful that God is speaking to my heart. And this area of letter writing and emails and texting, I can say again that God spoke to my heart and He says, send a letter. Spend the time and write it with your hands, because people, it does so much more than just typing something out and just sending it, you know, just as fast as you can. I mean, you're spending time, you're investing that time. And again, it just shows a need in my own life that I can't handle it. But also a resounding, just God just saying that maybe I am going in the right direction with this. And
amen.
For some time I've just been questioning, you know, should I get one? You know, I mean, look what it would do. You know, I mean, I can get a lot done and do a lot of my studies and store them all in there. And the text messaging, just connecting with people more and more. And I'm not going that way. I can't afford it. Just seeing my... you know, how weak I am, and I need your prayers, so you can pray for me that I can continue to walk in God's leading.
Amen. Bless you, brother. Lord, strengthen you. Okay, some hands over here in the back.
Scott, if you asked a question, are you too radical? No, you're not too radical. And Jesus wasn't too radical when He said you need to pluck your eye out. If you only pluck it out half and let it hang there, it'll never heal, but rather it'll become infected and you'll die, the same way with your hand or anything else. So these things, if you only want to cut them off half, it won't work.
Good, brother. Good analogy. Thank you. Yes, Brother Paul.
Yeah, I appreciated the message and the demonstration that God's Word has something to say about everything.
It does.
No matter how new it is, no matter how it's never been seen before, God's Word has something to say about it.
Amen.
And as you were sharing, I had to think, you know, how many people I know, and myself, Christians who struggle with having a devotional life. And how many of us know people like that? How many of us do ourselves? We struggle with that. It's a battle, isn't it? To walk with God, to get up and spend time with Him. And also, fathers, to spend time with our children. How many of us would say, boy, I just don't know when I can make the time. I really want to connect with my youth. But it's so hard to do. I'm busy. And it just hit me. How can we spend any time doing these things? If we're not doing those first things, how can we spend any time on that computer doing the other things? You know, God sees through all that, and we say we don't have time. I wish I had more time to read the Bible. I wish I had more time to pray. My devotional life isn't what I want it to be. It just doesn't add up if we're spending time doing any of that stuff. So God bless.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Amen. All right, the other microphone somewhere here? Yes, in the back.
Just a quick blessing for you. I I really bless you for bringing this message in this way and bringing out the fact that we turn our eyes toward Christ, and that's where our time should be invested. I think that overall that we can see in this, in the dangers that we see in all of these things, plus all the other things of work and anything else you could name, what we're being challenged and robbed with is our time. That we don't spend it with God like we should, and our family. And I just bless you so much for bringing this message in that well-balanced way.
Thank you, Timothy. Yes, up here in the front is a hand, and the mic's back there. Go ahead, Brother Danny. All right.
I appreciate the clear warning that was given. It's probably 6 months ago that the Lord was dealing with me concerning just making it clear that there's an area that I've been giving place to the devil, and I wasn't sure what it was. And as I was seeking the Lord about it and just coming to Him and, Lord, what is this? I want to be free. I want to be clean. And He made it very clear that it's the area of news and the how much time is wasted and spent in having to keep up with things. And it was a real eye-opener to me as the Lord revealed that to me. These things can be areas that we give place to the devil in. I'm coming to the place where I realize that we are in an age where there's so much information and we don't need it all. There's no way we can keep up with it all. And there's a beauty in simplicity and maintaining that priority of our walk with God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I want to comment on that. There's more beautiful pictures than a man could look at in his lifetime posted on the site. There are more devotionals that you could read probably in your lifetime. There are more people to connect with and interact with than you could ever do in 100 lifetimes. But what matters is my walk with God and my walk with my brothers and sisters. And if those are being sacrificed for all those other things, we have missed it. I have missed it. Thank you, Brother Reuben. Yes, Brother Denny.
Yes, I, of course, very much appreciate the word given. I would agree with Brother Paul. I was thrilled again this morning to see that here's something totally new that just came on the stage of life in 2000 and who knows what, 02 or 03. But yet the Bible, which was written 2,000 years ago, clearly addresses it.
It does.
That thrills my soul.
Amen.
This verse also came to my mind, Brother Aaron, as you were sharing. The words of Jesus. He said, "That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God."
Yes.
And 280 million people tells me that what we're addressing today is highly esteemed among men. We should be careful.
Amen.
And then the last thought I had, I'm just adding one to your points there, Brother Aaron, is I'm not sure that we realize how that social networking is eroding good manners and kind social graces.
Yes.
That we don't even realize what we do anymore, that we can jump up right in the middle of a nice conversation on a Sunday afternoon, run out of somebody's house, be out there for 10 minutes on the phone, and come back in, and we don't even realize that we were actually talking to somebody when our phone rang. We just left them sit there, you know.
Yep.
But the thing catches you, and it's dragging us to places that I don't think we need to go. I mean, really, is there anyone in this room that's that important that you have to answer that phone or take that text or answer that text right now? Are we really that important? Or have we been caught by my space?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean the spirit of self-centeredness and yes. I'm important. Yes. May God help us.
Thank you, Brother Denny. Amen. There's a hand behind you, Brother Denny, on as far as the microphone. And then one up front here. Go ahead, Brother Emmanuel.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for laboring in the Word this morning and bringing that warning in a very clear biblical sense, not just speaking of the sins of that or the dangers of it, but bringing it out in a biblical way that we can all see who are spiritually minded the dangers of this thing. Sometimes I feel like I'm an old phoby too, Aaron. When this cell phone texting hit the craze, I just stood against it. In our home, I just stood against it. I just said, it's not right. Something's wrong with all that stuff. And the children didn't understand, but I still say today, something is wrong with it. And I see it more clearly than before. There is something wrong with it, the way it's being used. Again, it's a tool that can be used, but most of our young people are not discerning enough to use it properly. Also, in our email that comes in, I've been so disappointed and disgusted with our youth who send emails into our house with all kinds of slang words, short words, slang words.
Yes.
And I've warned our children. I said, please, I don't want any of you to be writing that way. And I feel like I failed here this morning. I feel like what I should have done is written to every one of you young people who have been doing that to our home and warn you and let you know you can't do that to us. I'm not wanting you to do that to my daughters or my sons. I believe it's a great wickedness that is coming amongst us and we don't even recognize it. We don't use that kind of language when we see each other face to face. And it's robbing us of our dignity and of our godliness, our godly character. I thought also of a verse in Nehemiah where it spoke about the great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also are broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. There are some homes here that the gates are burned with fire. Some of you fathers and some of you mothers, like the picture I drew in our men's retreat, of keeping of the gates, the fathers and the mother. The father and the mother are the gates, the two-leaved gate that opened and closed in the cities of old. Two gates that would come closed. Well, some of those gates are burned. And some of you fathers and some of you mothers are wasting your time on it.
Yep.
How many of you fathers sit down at the computer and look at the news and things while your wife goes to bed a while? How many of you mothers are wasting hours during the day when your children are being neglected and so forth? And I want to close with a positive note, if I may, here. I wonder if the power of the resurrection is visible in your life. I had planned to go out to Buffalo Valley this morning and be out there, and I had a very, very busy week, and so I called the brother out there and said, I'm not going to preach this morning there. I'm just going to sit in your service and just be a part of it. And so they finally agreed to that. And then last night we were talking about this, and I heard my wife say she really would like to come to the service here this morning. She knows the youth are going to sing. She really wanted to come, and I had a very, very full week, and just actually I amazed at all the prayers God answered this week, but it was not an easy thing. My load was very heavy during the week. But it left it on Thursday evening, and so I felt like I was dragging my wife from one place to the other, you know, throughout this week, and so she was just kind of feeling dragged around. And so I heard her last night, and we were laying in bed, and she, I told her I loved her, and I told her that we're not going to go tomorrow because I'm not going to drag you around today.
Amen, brother.
I'd called a brother out there last night and told him that we'd be there for lunch today. Brother Joe Peachy. I said, Joe, we're coming out today. Can we come for lunch? Yep, please come. Okay. So this morning I got back on the phone and I called him again. So Joe, I said, we're not coming. Oh, I said, why not? Well, no, first I greeted him and said, have you been raised from the dead? I said, I've been raised from the dead. What about you? And we talked a little bit, and I said, I'm not coming. We're not coming today. Oh, I said, why not? Well, I said, I just felt like I really needed to spend time with my wife and just love my wife. And I hurt her heart last night, and so that's why we're not coming.
Amen.
He said, you have been raised from the dead.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Right.
So my question to you this morning is, have you been raised from the dead? And does your life testify of that? Your love for Jesus, it separates us from the world. It warns us when these things begin to come in. Something says, something's wrong with that thing. And we as fathers and mothers are the gatekeepers. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for that beautiful testimony. And I would want to hasten to say, I had it wrote down about the slang language, but I would hasten to say, if you use that long enough in social blogging, you're going to use it face to face. Because it'll weaken and wear down the speech that ought to be with grace and seasoned with salt. It'll break it down. Okay, I'm sorry, I'll get preaching here again. Where's the other microphone? Yes, go ahead in the back.
I just wanted to make a comment that I think we need more of you old fogies or whatever you called yourselves. We need more of those to watch over us careless ones, because the internet is a snare. It bought out, when I began to use one, it bought out old desires that were no longer there, it seemed, but it will draw out of you what lies within you. And it makes a lot of trouble even in the homes of non-Christians.
That's right. That's right. It's totally aimed at the fleshly carnal man. Wakes up. Yes. Over here. Yes, Samuel.
I appreciate what you said this morning, Brother Aaron. God bless you for being faithful to the burden that God put upon your heart. One other thing I thought of is that I think this social networking and emailing and a lot of those things, many times it can rob us of true fellowship. You know, the Bible talks many places about the fellowship that brothers and sisters can have in Christ. And I think it robs us of that fellowship. And a verse that came to my mind with that was, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And I think that's the attitude that we as Christians should have in all of these things. Not fellowshipping with the world, but rather reproving the world and these snares that Satan is desiring to trip us up in and rob us of things that God would desire for us as his people. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Samuel. Appreciate that. In the back, on the men's side.
I want to express my thanks to the elders and my shepherds that are over me. I want to bless you. My heart is burdened. I didn't grow up with these things. And I'm thankful for that. But that's not my burden. My burden is for those of you that are sitting here rebelling in your heart toward your leaders. And maybe there's none of you here. But if there are, I want to share with you. This was a blessing. I've been tremendously blessed. We as a family have since we've been coming here. That there's true shepherds. There's true leaders that care about our souls. They're not concerned about how we dress as long as it's to please God. And I would just encourage you that take this to heart. Hebrews 3 says, today if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. Mm-hmm. Like the children of Israel did in the day of rebellion. So God bless you, Brother Aaron.
It's a hand over here on the brother's side. We can get a microphone over there then.
And there's one right back there. Go ahead, Brother Joe.
Well, this message reminds me of the message I heard about 11 years ago on the TV. The brother used 1950s TV. He talked about Leave It to Beaver and Bonanza. But his point was, it wastes time. And it also reminds me, I mentioned in Brother's meeting, that iSocial networked at a Christian college, and I think I need to explain that. There was 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 other 18 to 21-year-olds. And I had these guys that I lifted weights with, and I had these guys that I played football with, and I had these guys that I played softball with, and I had these guys that I went to the beach with, and, oh, maybe I want to meet that girl. And when I would come home, I was literally dysfunctional because it was only my two brothers, and my two sisters, my mom and dad, and the two or three people at church, and just our one pastor instead of three different pastors during the week and whatever else. And I say that to say that if this message is to anyone that's actually struggling with this, as they come off it, they will need help. We will need to reach out to them. We'll need to show that we want to help them integrate into what we talked about, talking over the fence and those kind of things. So amen. I say amen to the message, but there's a reality that it's only begun. We have some things to work through.
Thank you, Brother Joe. And the other microphone's over here. Yes.
Yes, I just want to bless you, Brother Aaron. I've been very blessed. It has, the message has pricked me and applied me. Maybe I'm not into the Facebooks and the blogging. I stood against that, saying there's something wrong with that. But I haven't had that courage that some of the brothers have said on some of the issues, like the text messaging, where I saw it just a drain on the time. You can say so much in words face to face that takes so long to type out. I have, some years ago, we began to look at a computer. We felt it could be a blessing. Then when our daughter went to Africa, we thought we'd get one for emailing. And then the question was, and sometimes I think we don't hear our brothers that have fallen and have recovered mightily and become mighty men. And our brother Paula, now from Buffalo Valley, was one of those. And he said he would not have the internet. He said, you can live without it. There's, you can have email with my people. It's made so that there's not that snare. But I listened to what others were saying and said, well, I think we can handle it right. And I watched that thing bring things into our home that I wouldn't have gone. And about a year ago, my wife just played with me with some good long discussions, and her heart was, get that thing out, we're not controlling it. While I don't see anything real wicked having happened, yet it has been a drain and a snare. And I can see I fail in not keeping our home, not being wise. I need to confess that. Just lately I've been aware of things that have been coming into our home that are unknown to me and bringing a snare. I just want to go and find my way before God and just come admit where I'm at. I want to find a wise way to deal with that. Not try to tame that monster, but to put it to death. But with that, there's a plea that I'm going to put out to all of us. And actually, our brother gave me the, I think it was Ephraim, from what I heard, gave me the courage to say this. Almost every time we have a message like this, there's something happens afterwards in the fellowship where I hear the dripping words from older brothers and sisters against the minister that dare bring a warning. And it sounds like, yeah, you don't know. And I see our youth just, and it has moved me. And I'm just going to put out a plea. Can we walk with God and abstain from the sin of that? And all stand together before God. For the souls of our children and our own souls.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, I just wanted to share this for the sake of those that maybe are facing or have faced the same question and decision that I have, using Facebook for a good reason, you know, quote, good reason. I had a family member out of state that was coaxing me to become a member so that I could keep up to date with their family, and I've had friends coaxing me, trying to persuade me, and this was a year or two ago, and I got online just to check out what this is, and I felt in my spirit, just even seeing the pictures of just the profiles of some of my, quote, friends and their friends, there was such a... When I finished looking just at the pictures of the faces, I felt almost defiled in my spirit, and some of the expressions, the ungodliness that just was portrayed in people that I knew that are even in our circles, sisters in the Lord that I would have seen as being, you know, godly people, for some reason are on without their veiling or just in a hat and with expressions that are not like anything I ever saw in them in real life. And as I just sought the Lord, well, do I become a member and no one's allowed to get, you know, my family member was telling me, no one can even read what you write except just the ones that you allow. And so as I was seeking the Lord, do I do this for even a, quote, good reason, I felt like God's answer to me was that He doesn't want even a picture of any daughter of His to be on a social network that is controlled by the spirit of this age. And that was enough for me. That was my answer. And I just wanted to share that for those who are faced with the same question, do I do it for a good reason, to stay in touch with family or whatever, that I felt that it would be a shame to my Lord to allow myself to be associated with, I'm not calling everyone that is on there a sinner, but to be associated, to stand in the way of sinners, to... I don't know. I just thought I would share that for...
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Well, again, if I can just... a little fatherly love and concern plead with you today. If you have a account as a youth or an adult that is secret, nobody else knows it, I beg of you in Jesus' name, make that known. Bring it to somebody else. Don't do it. It will destroy you. The devil works through secrecy and trying to cover and hide. And again, just encourage us fathers. Let's exhort one another. Let's encourage one another in dealing with our present distress and age, the spirit of the age, and help one another to be gatekeepers in our home and lift up a standard of holiness. Wherefore, my brethren, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Amen. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Be still and know that I am God. If you ever see this teched up generation, they can never be still. It goes against it. Please, let's not go there. And if you are there, deliver yourself from the snare. Now. There's a whole lot I didn't share. But the hour is passed by. Thank you for all that you've shared. Let us earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. Make a sobering message to us all. I really had to think of Hymenaeus and Philetus as he was sharing. You know, it says there, if we just let me turn there quickly in. It says there, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Somehow they got involved in vain babbling and in shun and profane and profanity. It seems like they were Christians. And finally, their word ate within their own hearts and lives like a canker, to the point where it says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of sin. But it appears like the profanity and the vain babblings is what began to take them down that road of ungodliness. I thought also of Ephesians. It says there in Ephesians chapter 5, I know we're very, you know, when we think of fornication, uncleanness, we're very clear that those are sins, wicked sins. It says all fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints. But then it also says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. I just had to think of the slang words, you know, doesn't that fall into the category of foolish talking? Isn't that foolish talking? Let it not be once named among you as become the saints. And I'll be honest with you, when I hear the word cool in our midst, I think of a young person. The thing that goes through my mind is cool is neither cold or hot, but lukewarm. That's what I think about when I hear that word being used. Because I think, you know, it just sounds, again, down that road of slang, and that's what I think of is casual Christianity, either hot or cold. So God bless you. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for laboring in the Word. Let us always make God's law. Every God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, and none of His steps must run. We make God's Word part of our daily lives.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.